This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego. OuchMyEgo.com.
All right, now this is interesting here, everybody. We have with us the great benefactor, George Dean.
Howdy.
He's the guy who heads OME. He does all that background work on Ouch My Ego, the presents this show.
I headbutt it.
Headbutt it, indeed.
Like a soccer ball.
Mm-hmm.
And with us from Vincent Price's Laugh.
Hey.
Is Elby, my lady wife. I don't have a man wife either. But anyway. So what did we just watch?
The Mario Bros.
Super Mario Brothers.
I captured the princess.
Where's the rock?
The plumbers took it.
Plumbers.
Plumbers! Alien species escaping.
Super Mario Brothers.
Whoa, cool!
Rated PG.
So, there's a lot to talk about, except I have to come clean. I'm not much of a gamer, and I'm not much into 8-bit games. So, you guys, who are, or were, know a lot more about the compare and contrast between this movie and the game than I do.
Yep.
For instance, Toad. What the heck is Toad?
Toad's that little mushroom guy.
Yeah, supposed to be a mushroom guy.
And here, he's Mojo Nixon.
We asked for Mojo Nixon. They said he don't work here. We said if you don't got Mojo Nixon, then your store could use some fixing.
I don't know about Toad. I can see what they're trying to get at throughout the Mario series. It's hard to understand what the game is really about. There's no introduction, obviously. It's just you press one player, start, and then suddenly you're in Brickland, and then you go to Pipeland, then you go to Mushroomland.
There's an underground.
Yes.
Desertland and Swimmingland.
Yes. Nonetheless, there is no text. You can only interpret what you're seeing and go forward.
So
and eventually, you realize, oh wait, there are special weird levels that have menacing music that has this weird fire-breathing turtle spikes on his back. I guess that's the bad guy.
Okay, but you also have, and they didn't have in this movie, but you have the Venus flytrap things that also shoot fireballs. I know a little bit about the game. I mean, I'm not dumb. I've lived on planet Earth for 42 years. I'm aware of Mario Brothers game. I have played it, but...
Well, George and I are the same age, and we grew up, and it was like a part of us.
Yeah.
You're a little bit older.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, your generation still played the NES.
Yeah.
But I could see why you would be less familiar.
Well, it also has to do with upbringing and fiscal ability to purchase systems and were my parents willing to do so? Not really. They had a Commodore 64 that I played with. I didn't play with a game system. So
back to Toad. I don't know where I knew this or where I thought this or what convinced me, but at some point through playing the games, I thought that those mushroom people, including Toad, were actually regular people, but through some sort of something, they were turned into mushroom people.
And sort of zombies, I guess? Because they...
Not necessarily zombies. I mean, Toad seems pretty cognizant in the game.
Oh, anyway. I don't know. The mushroom people that you accidentally hit and then you die?
That's
what I mean by zombies.
Yeah,
they're used as...
Oh my god, are they
villains.
The same species?
Goombas are also mushrooms. A type of mushroom.
What?
So what the heck is this movie doing? Let's get into it! The movie starts with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo and some lady, and the lady's chased by two Guido types. John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins are Mario and Luigi. But flip that, though.
Wait, why is John Leguizamo Luigi?
Why not?
He's obviously Hispanic.
Latin.
Are Mario and Luigi like half-brothers?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe, perhaps.
They do have the same...
They did say in the movie that...
Mario here brought me up. He's been my mother my whole life.
Hey. All right, my father.
My father. He's been my father, my uncle, my brother, everybody.
I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. It could just simply be like the title says, Super Mario Bros. Yeah.
Bros.
They have the same last name. That was a question I had watching this movie. I was like, so wait a minute. Why are they the Super Mario Brothers if there's only one Mario?
It's because Mario's the last name.
Right. Yes. That totally got cleared up in that kind of funny scene.
Name!
Right
Mario. Last name.
Mario.
Okay, what's your name?
Luigi.
Luigi, Luigi?
No, Luigi Mario.
Okay, look, how many Marios are there between the two of you?
There's three. There's Mario Mario and Luigi Mario.
Mike! Up these Marios around the side.
That scene was definitely written by Ed Solomon, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
Ed Solomon was brought in as a script doctor on this. He's one of our, I don't know, favorite script writers, but he at least wrote two of our favorite movies, Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey.
Excellent!
He's one half of the writing team responsible for that. So, he was brought in. I don't know if he fixed the movie.
Well, I think all the good jokes were his.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
Like WrestleMania and the pizza guy.
The story, though, I guess tries as hard as it can to adhere to the the linear story of the game?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
So it
could be any other movie.
Yeah.
You know, if they didn't have those suits at that particular point in the movie, and the Koopas were named some other thing, like...
Reptoids.
It would be a completely...
Yeah, you would never know.
It
would just these two guys who happen to be plumbers going into an alternate dimension.
Yeah.
Which, the premise of this movie, I don't think is terrible.
I don't either.
The execution of it, not so good.
I think the execution is a blender job. Like, all the people involved were contending against the two directors who came off of Max Headroom.
What kind of show is this, anyway?
The TV show, which is pretty crazy and good. And then they were given this, and it just went to their egos, and they're like, throwing the script out the window and doing some darker, weird thing. That's why they had 10 screenwriters attached to this at various points, doctoring it up. And Ed Solomon and the original writers are the only ones whose names stuck.
Yeah.
And the original writers came in to fix it on set, to bring it back from the uber crazy silliness that they had down to kind of a mix what we have now.
Hey, side note real quick. Yeah. Can I just mention this bit of information that I know?
Sure.
When there are more than one screenwriters on a film and you see the credits, sometimes it says, you know, someone's name and then an ampersand and then someone else's name.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it says the first name and then the word and, and then the second person's name. There is a distinction between using the ampersand and the word and.
What's that?
If an ampersand is used, that means that it was a screenwriting team. Like, these two people wrote it together and it's theirs. There's an and. It means there's just more than one writer. Like, someone else wrote a draft, someone else tried to fix that draft, or whatever.
Right.
So they both get writing credit, but they weren't together on it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Solomon is a doctor here.
I want to know, the time that this movie came out, at what point in the Mario game franchise was it Super Mario 1? Was it
raccoon scene originally written into the first script where Luigi is running around with raccoon powers.
Not only
powers.
That, but it references Yoshi, which wasn't until Super Nintendo.
So, What's the game number?
It was called Super Mario World.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Good question. So, I was trying to say that it was just the linear story, you gotta get to the castle to free the girl, but that's not exactly it. They do, in this story, go into the alternate dimension. How else would there be a Mushroom Kingdom? Which is Mad Max-ish, and also the Twin Towers are there, and one of them is blasted. It's pretty hard imagery when you look at it now.
It's always like that. Anytime now you see an image of New York and you see the Twin Towers, it's just like, oh.
Well, there's that, but this has a blasted out building.
Yeah, it makes it worse.
It makes it like sting. The bad guy here is Dennis Hopper, who signed on. Everybody signed on to this script based on the original script, which they said was intelligent and sophisticated.
Hmm.
Yes. And the directors weren't the writers. It was somebody else's script. And once they got on set, the directors checked the script out and started doing things their own way.
Yeah, no, I mean, you see in the beginning, the mother of Daisy came through, I guess, a pipe, dropped her off at a church of some kind.
Yeah.
And then returns and then gets caught by Koopa, who I assume kills her or does something, I don't know.
She's played by the same girl that plays the princess.
Mm-hmm. It's Samantha Mathis.
And yes. Sorry.
And then there's the king, which is just the fungus.
Yeah. Well, you just ruined it for everybody.
Sorry.
The king is the fungus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the fungus is all the references to mushrooms and stepping on the mushroom in the game or whatever and growing big and getting powers and whatever.
Okay, so each level in the game, once you beat the level, there's the throne and the king is turned into a different animal or something. Am I remembering this correctly?
Yeah, you're talking about Mario 3?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. In Mario 3, they were like different creatures, and then you would get the wand from like one of the Koopa kids.
Uh-huh.
And then after getting the wand, they'd come back to the regular king. And sometimes he looks like Sultan, sometimes he looks like an English king.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I am lost.
Every world, you have to do this every time.
In Mario 3, anyway.
Yeah.
Dressed in Mario 3.
That's the one that I'm most familiar with. Yeah. That's the one I've actually beaten like 17,000 times.
And I have not beaten any of them. I've played the first level of the first game. I'm pretty good at that first level. Second level, I start to die all over the place. This movie, though, I can't say I hated it. I really enjoyed watching it. I can't hate on it. I can say it's a terrible mess.
Okay, so this is the first time I've ever seen this film, which is strange because I don't know how I really escaped my childhood without seeing this. I mean, basically, it was made for me.
Yeah.
Seeing it now, I went into it thinking it was going to be the worst movie I have ever seen in my life. Surprisingly, it wasn't. Like, I didn't hate it. I didn't necessarily like it, but I think it has such a terrible reputation because of the people who saw it as children, and it just didn't make sense to them at all.
They felt betrayed, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so like Mario was like the biggest freaking deal, you know, growing up. You just play it all the time, you love it. And then they announce that this movie comes out, and you're like, oh my god, this is gonna be amazing. You go see it, and it's nothing like the game that you love.
Right.
So, how good is this movie?
You,
really?
Not only that, but...
Yeah, I was gonna say, you experienced this firsthand as a child.
Yeah, but I guess in defense of the movie, there was never any plot in the game that was ever
true, so
given.
They can take a lot of liberties.
Right.
They can fill in the blanks.
And that's what they did with 10 people.
The movie never should have been made. I don't think there was enough story or characters or any sort of plot development in any of the games, even sequentially, because obviously one is way different than two, which is way different than all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have three, which is like a different version of the story. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless.
I never got into Mario 2. Like, I never quite understood how to play it. I mean, it was cool you got to pick your own character. Like, you could be the princess if you wanted to, or you could be Toad, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But
when you were a child, George, then you watched this movie, how did you feel at the time when you saw it? You said you saw it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky you. I can't say that I did. What was your impression of it? Get to the emotional core.
I think
I
was just confused, really, more than anything. Like, I think part of it probably appealed to my enjoyment of the Mario series. Even if the movie was bad, part of me was like, oh, this is Mario. I'm going to try to like it as much as I can regardless.
Right.
And of course, at the end of the movie, you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, you kind of have that good after-movie feeling. But then like you start thinking about all the things that were wrong with it. Like, oh, that was the worst. And probably is the reason why I hate watching video game movies, unless I think cartoons are fine, because obviously they look like cartoons to begin with.
Sure.
And you could do pretty much anything with them.
Right.
Live action, no.
Yeah. When I said, all right, we're watching this then, because you mentioned for some reason Super Mario Brothers, or I think we were just talking about you had been watching bad movies or something, and you had watched Hancock and you couldn't stand it, but you thought how ridiculous it was. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the new version? Yeah, we suffered through that recently. I made LB suffer through that recently just because she interested in the new one because Kang's in the new one. That's
no, Rusty and Bebop. I don't care about Kang.
Okay, that's it.
What you did was you're like, hey, I'm gonna turn this movie on, and you like didn't tell me when it was, and you turned it on, and then you left the room.
Which, as we all know, people can't turn things off on their own when another person leaves the room and leaves them there watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, I'm thinking, okay, he's gonna come back. No, never. You never came back.
And you suffered through it. Anyway, so we all know these movies currently that are all reaping our nostalgia. But when I said we're gonna watch this, you were like, all right, at first. I remember you perked up and said, okay. And then when you got here, you like sank into the chair. Not like you usually do, but you sank into the chair and were miserable the whole time. Visually, it's just looking at you. There weren't a lot of guffaws and laughs and how ridiculous things were. Sometimes you did, but most of the time you're just like, oh, God. Eye rolling. You could hear him like bowling balls. You know, so I'm glad I got to cause you some movie pain.
You know what I liked about this movie? It was kind of punk rock.
Yeah.
It reminded me of...
Cyberpunk, really.
Yeah, okay. It reminded me a little bit of Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a little bit of Tank Girl.
Mm-hmm.
It had Mojo Nixon in it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Why would Mojo Nixon be in this movie?
Is he friends with Dennis Hopper?
I know.
What,
he was terrified by Dennis Hopper.
As everyone should be.
Pretty much, yes. He also, actually, you know that little jingle that he started singing, that folk song?
Mm-hmm.
He had an entire song written, and they interrupted in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and he had it written, and he performed it and all that. They don't have it on the soundtrack, but here it is under everything, because I found it.
Okay.
That's sort of meta.
I just really assumed that he was friends with Dennis Hopper.
Mm-mm. No, he was terrified of Dennis Hopper. I don't think you're terrified of your friends.
I am.
George, she's terrified of you.
Oh, no.
You're towering behemoth.
Sally.
How could I be terrified of George? He has a beard.
That's right.
He's like a little bear.
So at the very beginning of this movie, there's this animation part with...
Oh, yeah.
It's all 16-bit. It's really bad, actually. It's tacked on, and it looks like it's done by somebody who had MS Paint and didn't care.
A long, long time ago, the Earth was ruled by dinosaurs. They were big, so not a lot of people went around hassling them. Actually, no people went around hassling them because there weren't any people yet. Just the first tiny mammals. Basically, life was good.
You know, it just don't get no better than this.
Yeah. Then something happened. A giant meteorite struck the Earth. Goodbye, dinosaurs. But what if the dinosaurs weren't all destroyed? What if the impact of that meteorite created a parallel dimension where the dinosaurs continue to thrive and evolve into intelligent, vicious, aggressive beings just like us? And hey, what if they found a way back?
That's stupid. It's all dumb.
I feel like that's a disclaimer.
It is.
It's a disclaimer because there was never an assertion of what the plot was going to be from then on. It was like, what if? And so this whole movie is just a really wrangled imagination of what if the dinosaurs evolved in a different dimension. Let's imagine how ridiculous that pretense is, and this is the movie that we get because it's so
test audiences ridiculous. Didn't get that scene. So test audiences were confused straight off the bat. So when they finally...
What didn't they get? The words?
No. That scene wasn't in the movie.
Oh.
They didn't get the scene.
Mm.
The test audiences were all the way confused by the movie.
Yeah.
So the filmmakers tacked that on at the beginning just to clarify.
Necessary.
I'm just imagining like the movie starting when they're losing that first job and they're like, okay. I wish this movie did not have the name Mario Bros, and I wish they never wore that suit, and I wish they didn't have the Koopa name, and it could just be like a weird experimental movie that probably wouldn't be so bad because it's a weird experimental movie.
Yeah, it is. But, it's all the way weird.
But because they tacked on this association with Mario, I mean, it really raises the bar quite a bit and unfortunately does not deliver.
The voice of that narration at the beginning is Dan
Castellaneta.
There you go, because I can never say it. He did the narration at the beginning.
I didn't even recognize him. I usually can recognize his normal speaking voice
because
easily.
He does some lower throaty thing. Here he's like all like
New York high pitched guy.
Yeah, I guess, but it's weird because normally it's like immediately because he does so many voices on The Simpsons too.
I wish I could totally cause you guys more pain here. This is a fun sort of pain. There was a rap scene in which Iggy and Spike, those are the two guys who abducted Daisy, the princess,
uh-huh.
in the first place. And then they got brains because they were too dumb, and Koopa has a machine that can alter people's DNA. So he gave them better brains. And then they became sympathetic to the resistance against Koopa. And while that dance club scene happened, where all the strippers that John Leguizamo says were hired to be in the dance club,
uh-huh.
that scene has them rapping. Something. It's awesome. I really wish it existed as more than just an Entertainment Tonight 2-second clip of them saying,
Koopa! The party pooper! Pooper scooper! The party pooper! Koopa! The party pooper! Pooper scooper! The party pooper!
Scooper! Doopa! Dee-doo! Skitty-bop! What? I don't know.
Oh my god.
It's ridiculous, and the lyrics, I don't have them here, but...
Please, if you ever meet Fisher Stevens, ask him.
Yes.
I don't know the other guy's name. He was in Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, he's the guy that stole the car. Now, the movie kind of takes a while to get rolling, right? In New York?
Mm-hmm.
It has a bit of a putter.
Yeah, because she, Samantha Mathis, as the princess, not princess at the time, is a archaeologist?
Well, archaeology student, maybe.
Yeah. They have this dig.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so there's that part where the rival plumber construction guy comes and tries to shut down her dig. And I thought that was going to be a much bigger part of the movie.
Nope.
Like, I thought that he was going to be a big villain.
Yeah, the first 40 minutes doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? There were 20 more minutes tacked on to the beginning of that they cut out. 20 more minutes! And this movie was 1 hour and 44 minutes.
It's a long movie.
Add 20 more minutes to that? That's just... Why? Why? But I'm so glad that they cut it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I can't. That's all before they get to Dinohattan. Not Dinotopia.
No.
Not Dinopolis. Dinohattan. Because we're stupid or something.
Because that makes the assumption that the alternate universe knows things about our universe and they would name their city after Manhattan.
You think so? And not in tandem? It's an alternate after all.
But what does Manhattan mean in why would you replace man with dino?
Manhattan is an Indian name, and I don't know anything beyond that.
Right.
Because I'm not that educated.
Basically, the person who wrote that was like, okay, this one is Manhattan. Like, it has...
It has mans in it.
So, obviously, the alternate would be dino.
Because it has dinos in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so smart.
Thanks for cracking that code.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. You know, I'm good at that.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing to talk about is just, you know, Iggy and Spike are actually one of the children in the game.
So they are? They're actual...
Yes, uh-huh. They are characters.
But I feel like they could have done something to make that a little more clear. During the movie, I didn't even know what these guys' names were.
That was Iggy and Spike, yeah.
They didn't say their names very until often. Later, yeah.
Not only that, but they didn't really look like... I know, I think in the game, Iggy has like this rainbow-colored hair.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
It's like red and then blue and then green or something. The other guy could have had that, so maybe there could have been some sort of association.
They refer to each other as cousin a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to use context clues to figure out what characters or what. Even with Toad, even though they say your name is Toad, like, you still have to, like, really figure out, oh, this is supposed to be that mushroom guy. This is supposed to be the princess. This is supposed to be this. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's not...
I think the most obvious character is probably Luigi. Seconded by Daisy. Thirded by Mario.
Why is Mario least obvious? He's a slightly small, round, supposedly Italian guy. Bob Hoskins, he's British, but...
Well, he does have the mustache.
I think Mario's pretty obvious.
Is Luigi supposed to have a mustache?
Mm-hmm. They both are.
But John Leguizamo with a mustache, they might have tried it, he might not have looked good.
He might have looked too villainous.
What kind of Snidely Whiplash kind of mustache?
I loved Luigi's outfits. It was so 90s. Oh my gosh, like, he wore the yin-yang shirt, and, you know, the backwards cap. It was
the great. Overalls thing was done, like, TLC style overalls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the very end of the movie, rips off Back to the Future. Marty! There's something wrong with your family in the future! That scene is totally lifted. When she comes at the very end, and she has her...
Well, there, like, a million movies that do that?
Well,
like,
they literally, though, the script writers have confessed, we just took that from Back to the Future. But they dress her up kind of like an Ellen Ripley Aliens situation from the second movie.
Yeah.
With some kind of gun. Nintendo, actually, they might not have written off positively about this at the time, but after it came out, one of the heads of Nintendo was asked about it, and he's like, it's a fun movie. It's a fun project for us to have been involved in. This is how Asians sound.
I was gonna say.
It's a nice movie. Hey. You know, it was like in a general sense saying, it is what it is, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, they were really miffed at how badly it did in the theater. And then they looked at it again and they were like, eh, that's why. It's not really a Mario thing. As George says, change all the names. It would be a thing unto itself. As probably it should have been.
Yeah, they should have just made another movie, like that movie, without attaching the name. It wouldn't have been so mad.
Do you have a favorite moment in this movie? Or favorite thing in this movie?
I guess the only favorite thing is when the King of the Mushroom Kingdom reveals himself.
Good one! Because, well, it's disgusting. First off, it's this big ball of snot. Like phlegm. Like that off-white phlegm. It's a ball of snot and it's everywhere. And it keeps tossing ba-bombs towards the heroes so that they can use the ba-bomb later, which is just a little wind-up toy. And it's silly and stupid. That scene doesn't make much sense. None of this movie makes much sense.
I feel like this movie could have been a great opportunity to create a plot line that leads up to Mario and Luigi taking part into it.
Ah.
Because then we have, oh, how did the Mushroom Kingdom happen? Oh, the king was whatever, and he completely infiltrated the world, now everything's mushroom-like.
Yeah.
So you want a prequel.
Like a prequel to the Marios, and then that would have been, I think, a good opportunity, because no one really knows what's going on in Mario.
Nope.
Unless you're reading the owner's manual, which of course I did. But
nerd.
Aside from that, I mean, and playing the game and being like, and then talking, of course the friends would talk, and be like, oh yeah, man, this and that, or, you know, they'd see something in Tina Power, or, you know, those kinds of things.
So Lance Henriksen has 3 seconds in this movie, and he is the king, and that's his big reveal. And it was his idea to have Rice Krispies in his hands and cough.
Oh, I'm back. Love those plumbers.
Because the Rice Krispies looks like fungus flying out of his throat after he's turned into Lance Henriksen for 3 seconds.
Is there actually fungus that grows like that? I don't know.
I have no idea. I'm sure there's odd fungus of some sort. Like slimy, drippy stuff in the caves.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the
webbing.
Yeah,
I mean, the fungus did not seem unrealistic.
It didn't?
No. Okay. I've seen all kinds of fungi, and it kind of has that look or texture. Or whatever. I don't know what species of fungus is in the movie.
Yeah.
Right. Well, me asking that, I'm not saying that I don't believe it. I just actually want to know because I'm curious.
Oh, yeah. You know? Kind of off topic, but fungus is pretty virulent. I think I saw, forgot what the fungus name was. Essentially, that particular genus of fungi has different species, and each individual species of that genus will attack a specific insect.
Yes, you're talking about the zombie wasp or ants.
No, kind of ants. Yeah, ants, like, they'll just kind of like husk over and die to themselves, and then fungus will
yeah, I've seen that, but there's another one that gets into, it's just a little spore that gets into the bloodstream of whatever the insect is, let's say wasp, and then it drives the wasp around until the wasp dies. The wasp is literally like a zombie, like a viral zombie.
Yeah. Crazy.
Wiggling around, and it's like, I can't control myself, you know? It's walking,
it's got its own... the same one,
And then it dies, and then it grows out this amazing looking
fungus, and then explodes with spores to infect more.
It's nuts!
And in fact, ants that, if they find other ants that have been, like, comatose because of this, they'll, like, move them away from the colony, because they know that they're bad, and then eventually they'll explode with more.
Wow. That's crazy. Well, I'm glad the king wasn't that kind of fungus, because then all the population of Dino Hatton would explode. Do you have a favorite part of this movie?
When the Goombas are dancing in the elevator.
That's your favorite part?
Yeah, I think so.
That's actually a pretty good one, too.
It's cute.
It kind of goes on for a long time, but it's ridiculous. Especially the payoff of it. All of the Goombas dancing.
I don't really understand the Goombas, like, why when they're de-evolved, like, that their heads get shrunk so much and their bodies become enormous. I don't really understand that, but I really like their faces. I think they're hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, they have these, like, big grins and
they're really dumb looking. Yes. It's really perfect. Funny. They're perfectly dumb looking, but their heads are so small and their bodies are so huge. Eh, it's too weird.
It reminded me of Beetlejuice.
Kinda, yeah. The little shrunken head guy. Uh-huh. I was
my favorite
scene. It's not necessarily a scene, it's a thing. I really liked Yoshi. Yoshi was awesome.
He's really cute.
It was designed by Patrick Tatopoulos.
Oh, that guy from Face Off.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, not the movie Face Off, the TV show Face Off.
Right, yeah. like,
the sci-fi channel.
Yeah, the reality show.
Makeup effects show. Yes, Patrick Tatopoulos. Yes, him. He worked on Alien vs. Predator. Alien vs. Predator, Requiem, and various other things. Underworld, whatever. Okay, the casting. Originally, who would you want to see as Mario? Right now, just think of a person as Mario. It doesn't have to be a current actor, can be an older actor, can be a current actor, somebody. Michael Fassbender, maybe? That was for my wife, and she just giggled, but you can't hear her.
Danny DeVito!
You are correct that he was sought after for the role of Mario. He turned it down. Who else would you want as Mario? Elby. Michael Fassbender?
No.
Would you say Bruno Kirby?
Oh, yeah, okay. I can see him.
I would see him more as Luigi, actually.
Maybe.
Would you say Dustin Hoffman?
Absolutely not.
Well, both of those were up for the part. Bob Hoskins was a more bankable star, they said, than who was originally attached, Tom Hanks.
What?
Tom Hanks really wanted the part.
Wow.
God bless him.
Okay, so at what point in Tom Hanks' career was this movie?
It's right after Joe versus the Volcano.
That's what I was going to ask.
And Bonfire of the Vanities. Both of those movies tanked really badly. So Bob Hoskins, who had many movies under his belt, and he had become, because he's British, stateside, he became a success with Roger Rabbit and part of Hook. Uh-huh. So he's a bankable star that way. So they're like, hey, let's get Bob Hoskins. Plus, he looks a bit more like the part. Can you imagine Tom Hanks?
What am I doing here?
No.
It's just weird. It was just, that would just be weird. Tom Hanks, Seinfeld as Luigi.
What? Jerry Seinfeld.
As Luigi.
Yeah, I'd rather have the Stans than Seinfeld. Or the two guys from the IT crowd.
Oh my god.
Currently, the two guys.
Oh my god, Chris O'Dowd, Richard.
Iowati.
And I don't care if they have like.
Richard
Iowati. They don't look the part.
We're not really brothers, are we?
Yes.
I mean, look at me.
Oh, I love it.
So.
And then it should be the girl that's in the office.
It's Daisy. They should just do it.
Please just do that.
The IT crowd, if you're listening, which you won't.
And then it could be, what's that guy's name?
Denim?
Yes. That could be Koopa.
Oh my god, it'd be Koopa.
Matthew Barry is Koopa.
What if the entire IT crowd was just a metaphor for Super Mario Brothers?
Is it? Okay, so who is Mario then? Is Chris O'Dowd Mario? Because he's like, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, but he's obviously the one in charge of them.
Okay, so we just figured it out. If this movie was ever, the topic of this movie was ever tackled again, just get the entire cast.
Who does Noel Fielding get to be?
Noel Fielding.
He plays a vampire, sort of.
He's Toad, I guess.
He could be Toad.
Okay, that's an awesome idea.
It is, it's great. And on that, we're gonna leave you because, good golly, what a doozy of a film. I suggest you find it, hunt it down, watch it, or better yet, just watch the Everything Wrong With on YouTube. You could do that and just enjoy it just the same, I think.
If you haven't seen it before, you might actually like it more now.
Yeah.
I didn't hate this.
Neither did I, but it's not a good movie. It is just ridiculous.
It's just a waste of time. Who has time these days?
There you go, from the horse's mouth. See you later, everybody.
Later.
Thanks. What did we just want?